Hello, I'm Raimi.
And I'm Beth.
And this is Brother Knows Quest, the podcast where I, your host, introduce my sister to the wonderful world of tabletop role-playing games. Beth, do you know what we're talking about today?
No.
Oh, what a surprise. It's this.
The Frontiers Revised.
Read that better.
Tiny Frontiers Revised.
Yes.
That looks like a Halo ship.
Well, it's a space game. Tiny Frontiers Revised. Author is Alan Burr. Again, apologies. Published by Galleon Knight Games in 2018. Just like the other Tiny D6s we've been talking about lately, it's a very simple rules system with just enough crunch and customizability to get you a good game, pretty much, a good tabletop. How many pages are in the book? I give the book to her in case you're all wondering why I ask that every episode.
160.
Okay, yeah, that's plenty. 160 pages, which is a lot more than the last one we had. Tiny Gods is smaller. Also, if you haven't listened to our first episode about Tiny Dungeon, that would be a good one to start with if you're into D&D. But this is more of a space thing. And we cover a few more of the perks kind of thing. Not perks, but traits you could have, because they carry over from book to book. But the settings and some of the other rules change. So if you hear me say we covered that before, I'm talking about something in the first episode. The first chapter, How to Play, goes from pages 6 to 19, which tells you how light the rules really are. And once you get to 18, actually, that's where the optional rules start. So a couple pages there of just optional ones. Then you call your explorer creator, your explorer creation, making your character. Goes from pages 20 to 47, which is a little bit longer than the average one we had. A lot of that's just traits. Heritages, which is something I'll get into in a minute, is a lot bigger in this book than, it's like your race, a lot bigger in this book than the other ones we've had too. And then for the game master, basically enemies, bestiary, optional rules, hacking the game to make it better, optional combat rules, starship rules, goes from page 48 to 68. And micro settings, which a fun thing a lot of these games have for the Tiny D6 system, is like little settings, give you some ideas if you don't have one already. What you want to play. You can just find one of these settings here, and they have, most of them are a few pages. Like, we go from the Grand Archive, it goes from 142 to 147. So just a few pages there. But they have other ones like the Amazing Galaxy Race. Makes me think of Han Solo and that race he always talked about. And the Pinkerton Interstellar Detective Agency, which I would love to play that. Last year had a bunch of discussions about the Pinkertons, if you recall. Wizards of the Coast hired them to get some cards back. Some guy had accidentally gotten early. Of Crows and Scales, the station, which I'd imagine is a space station. I didn't read into that one. And then there's a good one called Bears in Space. Now, let me get into the heritage. So, you know, this is a space-based game. This is like a space opera, or whatever kind of space you want it to be, space campaign. You have the humans. Humans are the most prolific heritage due to their extreme adaptability and determination. They have 6 hit points, and they start with an extra trait of their choice. Then you have the genes.
Gens?
I almost corrected myself before you did. They are genetically modified humans. Extensive time and space lanes and on other planets has led to a divergent evolution where these former super soldiers have created their own culture and civilization. They set off of 6 hit points. They have a trait called Master of Warfare, where you have mastered an additional weapon and have advantage when using it. They look like better humans. They're just humans, but better. And you have the Autoborg, which are intelligent artificial constructs. They're built in huge factories. They have a society influenced by a strong sense of purpose and responsibility because they are machines and they were built with a purpose usually. They start off with 8 hit points. They have dark vision and robot as a trait when they start. Robot means you don't need to eat, sleep, or breathe. Pretty useful.
Sounds nice.
They also stand about 6 feet tall with metallic bodies, but they weigh more than a human. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I did say that these are your heritages are basically your race, if you would pick in D&D. Now, Beth, what is that one's name, right after Autoborg in the heritage list?
Kalamura? I don't know. It's K-H-A-L-U-M-R-A. Kalamura.
I guess. It's adorable. It's kind of like your standard alien look.
Yeah.
Shorter stature, pointy head, 3 eyes, but it's got massive ears. It looked like the wings on Hermes' boots.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way I could describe it.
Yeah, I was thinking the little wings on the shoes.
Yeah.
Is what Hermes, I was.
Yeah. I'm not going to pronounce that name again. Are diminutive species of 3-eyed aliens. They live on asteroids and have retrofitted into mobile communities, which is cool. They wander the galaxy as traders and purveyor of goods. They are about 3 feet tall, oblong heads with protruding, floppy, bat-like ears. They only have 4 hit points. They start with the trait Incredible Agility, which gives you a... you can test 1d6 whenever you are successfully hit by an enemy. If it's successful, you evade the attack and do not take any damage. You're just quick on your feet. And if you need to know more about those rules I just mentioned, listen to the first episode of Tiny Dungeon. A Salamar. Salamar look like lizard folk. They have earned a reputation for being hard-nosed but fair merchant, preferring to live in aquatic or wet climates as suits their amphibious nature. They are highly intelligent, dignified creatures with a respect and interest in culture. Being well-dressed is an absolute must. You only have 5 hit points. You can have one of 2 heritage traits with this one: pyrothermic killing or cryothermic killing. Depends on what setting you want. You know, damage dealt to you by the pyro would kill you instead, and if you took a cryo, damage dealt cold would kill you instead. Depends on what you're after there. And then you have Tyrannex. I don't know about the Tyrannex. It looks terrifying to me. I guess that's the word, tyrant. They are members of the Tyrannus Imperius, a spacefaring alien empire found deep in the darkest reaches of space. Serving as soldiers and bounty hunters are rarely assassins. I can't imagine him being very sneaky. twice as tall as the average human. They have 4 arms protruding from their torso and rough scale hides and favor weapons that require them to get close with their enemies. They have an unending rage trait. I don't really need to describe that too much. And they start with 5 hit points. Terrifying creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have expanded heritage list, which I imagine is expanded from the first edition, but all I got is the revised edition. Yeah, these it says right here, made for the revised edition. Ilvian, I think is how you pronounce that. Ilvian. They're one of the most advanced races in the galaxy or in space. Loners by nature, they are techno-gnostics, searching for a universal enlightenment. You can be accomplished via cybernetic modification and technology. Now, they are the same size and shape as humans, with light blue skin, milky white eyes, and hairless bodies. Kind of Borg-like, but nicer, I guess. They're drawn to professions that involve technology. They only have 6 hit points, which is fair. And you have a cybernetic savant as a trait. Jakari, they're from an unknown star system. They are mysterious, secretive individuals, no gender. They take on whatever persona, gender, and identity appeals to them at any given juncture. So they're just, okay. All they have that is their own, that stays constant, is their name. It's very personal to them. They hide information about their culture. No one really knows why they leave their homes in the first place. No hair, 4 eyes, with a humanoid form. They are 7 feet tall and very thin. They have 8 hit points, so they're very, very tough compared to the other things we talked about. And they have a secretive trait. Splinters? Splinters here is cool. It's like the Cthulhuian horror lineage you could take. They're not from our galaxy, but that's about as far as science has gotten. There's no evidence to show how they arrived in our galaxy in the first place. Under 3 feet tall, splinters are a bizarre alien who outright unsettles most folk who look at them. All weird angles and strange clothes and no sensory organs you can spot. They tend to just show up and be around. They're just there. They look like a tree, like a weird space cacti sticking out of a rock. They have 5 hit points and they have the trait unsettling. You're unsettling to deal with. You gain advantage on any rolls to intimidate, threaten, or unsettle others. I put on my notes here a question mark. What? There's a bunch of others like the Nain, or among the old. I'm going to stop here and say, the only thing worse than fantasy names is sci-fi names.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it is. It's half the reason I couldn't finish reading Dune. I'm a Star Trek guy. Stargate, Star Trek.
I'm not.
And Star Wars is okay, but it ain't my thing compared to the other
things. I like Doctor Who, and that's about the only space thing I like.
And I love Doctor Who, too. I couldn't pronounce half the aliens in that one either.
Yeah. And you know what? I still like it. And I still have my house decorated in Doctor Who stuff. So if you think that I'm not a Doctor Who fan because I can't pronounce some things, then screw you.
Nains are the oldest starfaring race, established themselves long ago as a large portion of the populace in the galaxy. Clever and mechanically inclined, pioneering new forms of cybernetics, starship drives, weapons, armor, and more. I bet they'd be friends with the other one, which is covered. Not the tree one, but the cybernetic lady. They're only about 4 feet tall. Have a broad, stout body, violet or blue skin. They're overly muscular. I do believe they're space dwarves. 7 hit points. It doesn't say here, but I believe they're space dwarves. But they have 7 hit points, and they have the tinkerer trait. And then you have the Beth?
Yeah.
You're going to have to read this one.
Where are you?
Right after the Nain.
Algaliri? Algaliri. I don't know. Why can't we just... John Smith.
What? How do you pronounce it? Or how do you... what is it spelled?
Allegarhi.
Okay.
Allegarhi. No, that ain't right.
Spell it out for me.
It is A-H-L-E-G-H-I-R-I.
Now, I will say, this is a us problem, not a writer problem. We can't blame the writer for wanting to have original names, and they are space names. I just...
Yes, but...
And no, it's fine.
It would be nice if they had a pronunciation thing on the side.
Oh, a lot of games do that now, but this was meant to be a simple game. I guess I didn't want to make it too... You pronounce it however you want. Rename them. Yeah, if you want. This is... It's a game.
This is... Edward over here.
the Edward species. They appear to be human from a distance until you get up close. They have red skin, hooves, curling horns. They do conjure up images of demons and devils from old Tyrian history, or Terran history. Tyrian. But they aren't abominations from the pits of some ancient religious punishment. But aliens evolved to use photosynthesis.
I thought I said photosynthesis when I read it.
It says photosynthesis.
The plants.
It does. So they're
like plants, not the plants.
They're about 6 feet tall with curled horns, hooved, red skin, all that stuff.
The basic goat man, Satan.
Yeah.
It looks friendlier.
Oh, they're very friendly.
It's smiley.
It almost kind of looks like the D&D version of a...
looks like it's got a little bit of cyborg on it, too.
Yeah. I think everything kind of does in this. But they have the Sun Eater heritage trait. When standing in direct sunlight, you take no action. You can heal 1 hit point every 10 minutes because you're part plant. Then you have the holograms. I don't need to explain what a hologram is, but you can play as one. You have a little disc. It projects you. Yeah, it sticks with you all the time. They're very rare. They look exactly like whatever they want to. That's what it points out. They do have 8 hit points, which is considerable, probably because it's very hard to hit a floating disc in amongst the light. They are made of hard light, which means that's their trait. Can't be healed by any test or equipment and must recover their HP naturally, which means they recharge daily as a form of sleep. And then you have the Grunka. They're big, brutish, violent aliens. They work as enforcers, thugs, outlaws for hire, stuff like that. They settle down and establish their dominance over a town and then fall into a ritual of gang warfare against other Grunka. They don't even like their own species, but they have 7 hit points and they grudge bear trait, which means it's kind of like a favorite enemy. You have a grudge against something, you do a better stuff to it. And then you have blinks, which are weird. I like this one when I read it before. They come from various regions of deep space with an atmosphere is at a premium, comprised of a bizarre psychic entity that found itself a host to bond with. They're generally misunderstood. They have a psychic projection is uncomfortable for most people around them. And they have a limited ability to see upcoming events with their psychic powers, which makes them unwelcome in casinos. And it literally shows a picture of a dude with like psychic creature attached to its head. It looks kind of like a six-eyed Cthulhu-y kind of thing attached to his head. It's psychically controlling his body and has his body surrounded in an aura. But otherwise, it looks like a man. Has 5 hit points and they have the precognition trait. They can look like other heritages also, but the one in the image shows them as a human. And then we're going to go from there. That's plenty. That's way more heritages than we ever had in any of these other games. Not including the, if you don't include the Zines that I bought that have add-ons for each of these games. But let's talk about some of the micro settings, like the Pinkerton Interstellar Detective Agency. Good Lord. They had their start on Earth in the 1800s, but it has long since outgrown the one-time ambition of a private security firm. It has become one of the permanent agencies of private investigators in the known galaxy. Preeminent agencies, not permanent. It's now 2470, if you go by the old Earth calendar. The inner colonies are all pretty much well-governed themselves, but the outer ones, kind of like the Pinkertons did. It's think of a Wild West agency of private security. That's what they do. But they do go by a code, even on the outer colonies, which is used by the actual Earth company, the Pinkertons, since 1850. These rules are, accept no bribes, never compromise with criminals, partner with local law enforcement agencies, refuse divorce cases or cases that cause scandal, okay, turn down reward money, never raise fees without the client's permission or knowledge, keep clients appraised on an ongoing basis. That's fair. Those are pretty good qualities to have in a private security firm, if you ask me. And the fact that that works in space is wild. And the fact they didn't handle divorces. They did kind of had a scandal here a few months ago when Wizards of the Coast hired them to steal cards from a man who got them legally. But that isn't the space one, so that doesn't count. Let's see, is there another one? Bears in Space. It has inspired by Star Trek, Swiss Family Robinson, and The Muppet Show, also by bears everywhere, which I do believe is just them saying bears in general, because the second everywhere isn't capitalized. And then it goes over the humanity being, the reason there's bears in space is because humanity is poorly suited to the rigors of deep space. So we started to tinker with animals to make them more suitable for us. And so you get a whole bunch of bears in space. They seem to be well suited to a lot of things. So you're intelligent bears in space on a mission. Just have fun with that, right? There's more detail here you could go into, but why would you? You get the idea of a bear in space. What is the other one? Warped. Possible themes. Exploration, rebellion, empire building, diplomacy, piracy, and megaverse alternative events. Inspired by ancient aliens. That says a lot about it right there, doesn't it? Star Trek. Quantum Break. Battleship Yamato. Foundation. And YouTube conspiracy videos. This sounds dangerous to read. I've jumbled up this one pretty bad because I had to pronounce so many wacky names and it got me flustered. Apologies for that, but
they
I do recommend
how
the game.
I feel in mine.
Yeah, if you like space games or space stuff, this is be a perfect, simple system to run it in. We cover a lot of easier to run tabletop role playing games here. I think this is the simplest by far, even though it's got so many options, and it gives you idea how to make your own species and traits. There's so many traits I didn't even get into. There's so many of those. It goes into psionics, of course, and stuff like that. If you want to use them, all that stuff is there. Ship combat rules are there. I try not to get too deep into the rules often because I'd be here talking about stuff that I'm not very good at describing. It's better to have it written. But, yeah. I'll put a link in the description. It'll be a DriveThruRPG somewhat affiliate link. I'll let it give us a store credit if you buy anything, but it won't charge you anymore. It'll be for a print or PDF version or both. And you don't need any other rule books. You just need this one to play this. Very easy. Has everything you need to go. All you need is D6s. Tiny D6 is the way to go when you're just wanting to start out a game. I know it's tempting to say D&D is the best one to start with. Maybe it's not. Maybe you need something a little bit more laid back. You can put your own setting to, or use one of the smaller ones built into it.
Especially if you have a busy schedule, then you should do some of these simpler ones.
Yeah.
First, and then work your way up.
Yeah. And there's no harm at all in trying something simpler, and it saves you a lot of money. But I'll add the link to that in the description. And I'll also add a link to our link tree. It will take you to all of our socials. The first link in the link tree will be our website, the main site for all of our podcasts, the Gruesome Gaming Group Podcast Network. We'll have Horrific History and Hauntings. It's another one my sister and me do. She tells me about everything in the title, Horrific History. Occasionally there's a haunting or a true crime story, something like that. We'll cover odds and ends like that. Sometimes some weird science. And we also cover, we just did an episode about retro gaming on one called Leveling Duo. It'll be there as well. It don't get updated as often, but we did put them on there. And usually it's my friend Dakota that talks with me, but that one was me and my sister here because we played more games together when we were younger. Let's see. Reach out. Let us know if you'd like to see us cover something else. There'll be an email right below the Linktree link. You can do that, or you can use one of the socials in the Linktree to send us a message on whatever social you like. We're on TikTok now, have YouTube videos going up. Yeah, keep an eye on us. Do you have anything to say about this game, by the way, Beth?
Not really.
You're not a real big space person. I didn't think you would. You'd play it, but...
All the others seemed fairly interesting, but as I mentioned before, the only thing space-related that I like is Doctor Who.
Yeah, I understand completely. I'm going to have to get the space ones out of the way eventually.
Yeah. But that's my personal preference. If you like spacey stuff, then you would probably enjoy
it. I really
do
like spacey stuff. I'm running a game. I'm playing a game right now called Sins of a Solar Empire 2. I got it. It's kind of in beta, but I'm enjoying it. And I would certainly run a game in that setting with this system if I could do that. I ain't going to get into that game. I might talk about that game next time on Leveling Duo, though. But anyway, reach out to us. Let us know what you like. Leave a review. I know it wasn't the greatest. I should say these aren't reviews. I don't do reviews. I do discussions or explanations more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Since I haven't got to play a lot of these games, I talk about.
It's hard to review something you haven't played yet. Maybe one day we'll play them.
Yeah.
And when we have friends, we'll be able to.
If you would
do
be
kind
interested
of a review.
In playing one of these, like on Roll20 or something, I do Roll20 games when I do get a chance to play. And
I don't know what that is.
I know you don't. It's not hard to learn. And if you don't know how to play it and you'd like to reach out, use that email in the description or get on one of the socials. Reach out. Let me know. We could work something out. Me and Beth are free all the time. We could fit into a schedule. You just let us know if you don't mind being recorded and on a podcast. We don't make money doing this. It would be fun. Let us know and we could do something. Also, leave a review if you like, if your podcast app or YouTube lets you do that. It's okay if it's a bad one. We'll try to repair, fix anything that's reasonable, you know, anything we have control over. You could leave another one later if you liked it. But if you left a bad review, why are you still listening? And just go to that link tree and you'll see all of our stuff there. Thank you for listening. I've been Raimi.
And I'm Beth.
And this has been Brother Nerd's Quest. Bye-bye.